So today we have on the menu Mibsarcha losis alim zugrushaso. It's the main event. Making this a little bigger. Okay, Mibsarcha losis alim zugrushaso. The key conceptual idea that is given voice in this sugya is the notion that there's at a minimum a financial obligation, a legal obligation of support, some chiv parnasa after gerushin. And more interestingly, that it's grounded in the notion of mibsarcha losis alim, which suggests that there's a din of mibsarcha after divorce. That's the key thing that emerges from this sugya. And you'll see it's going to link into our next Chazar Shir sugya, which is the din of Machzir Grushaso, which we touched on in our previous Chazar Shir also. The idea that maybe it takes less to get a reunification marriage, a Machzir Grushaso marriage off the ground, than it takes to launch a marriage from nothing. Does everybody see that? Does everybody remember that? So a lot of some of the main one of the reasons for doing these Chazar Shirim is to piece together the major themes that we've been seeing over the Zman and show how they relate to each other. And also to reinforce those main themes, because sometimes you could lose sight of them in the weeds of the Masu Matan of a Sugya. So that's the key thing that I want to take out of this Sugya. And to a certain extent, you'll see that this sugya is in tension with the previous two Chazar Shirim, the concept that we want distancing after divorce, the din of shiluach. Because, and we'll see that comes to a head explicitly in some of the Rishonim on the sugya. But the idea that if there's din of mibsarcha losis alim after gerushin, and there's some chiyuv kiyum of the husband supporting their wife and being they're considered basar, I don't know, basar echad or din bisarcha, that's in tension with the notion on its face that they're supposed to be distanced and separated through shiluach and pirud. Everybody see that? Now, of course, you might try to say that this would qualify as something that my father would call ambitious, but you might want to say an ambitious idea that gufa, the reason why you need pirud and shiluach is because there is some notion of mibsarcha keeping them together. So that has to be counteracted by the physical de facto separation on the ground. So these are the big ideas that animate this sugya. What I want to do now is I want to go carefully through the main sources that support these ideas, and I'll just be careful as we go through it to just mention and disentangle these ideas from each other. Okay, so our story begins in the Yushalmi, where all good stories begin. Okay, fine. Not all good stories begin, but our story today starts in the Yushalmi in Ksuvis, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel. We're told, "Kishem sha'adam chas al kavod almanaso," in the same way that a person should look out for their almana. You buy life insurance so that your spouse will be supported after you pass away. Kachas al kavod grushaso. A person should also be careful about the dignity of their ex-wife. Damar Yaakov Barach b'shem Blazer mibsarcha losis alim. So in this Yushalmi itself, we get a key statement about being concerned, having a responsibility for the dignity of your ex-wife, Grushaso. And moreover, that's grounded in the pasuk of Mibsarcha losis alim, that there is a din of basar mibsarcha lachar gerushin. Of course, this is working off the pesukim in Bereishis, Zos hapam etzem me'atzamai basar mibsari. Correct. Now, I think this actually touches on a theme that we got into in the first semester, that marriage creates some deep existential relationship between the husband and the wife. That's what we analyzed at the very beginning. Of course, Tani made his strong debut, though we haven't heard much from him after that. Somebody sent him the recording so he could listen of the soul stitching to capture that image of Basar Echad. And you could suggest that even though the get creates a legal separation, a legal dissolution of the Kinyan Ishus, it's not clear that the get totally separates that other dimension. Correct? That would be something, that would be one way of making sense of how there could be, if you go for a strong reading of Mibsar Chalos HaSalim, La'achar Gerushin. Now the Yushalmi in Ksuvis fleshes this out further. Not only does the Yushalmi state this as a prescriptive statement that there's a chiyuv to support your grusha, the Yushalmi gives us that story of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that his wife wasn't supportive of him, his wife was disrespectful to him. So his colleague said, it's time to divorce her. He said, I can't divorce her. The ksuva is too expensive. The colleagues pitched in for the ksuva payment, if you recall. But Yossi Haglili's wife, his ex, he divorced her. His ex-wife married some officer. The officer fell on hard times. They had to schnorr for money. They schnorred from the whole community, but they avoided Rabbi Yossi Haglili's area, I guess his block, his little neighborhood. Then, the new husband said, why are we not schnorring from this area? He started hitting her and screaming at her. Rabbi Yossi Haglili heard out. Ava Rabbi Yossi Haglili b'shama kalon mizbaze bashuka. He heard the melee, the commotion. Yeah. So he heard what was going on. It was a disgrace to his ex-wife. So Nosvon v'yavon begov chad. So he housed them in one of his apartments. And moreover, I have a masik lon mizonin kol yomin, davim b'chayin. He would support them for as long as they lived. Al shem yibsar chalos zugrushaso. So very nice. Yushalmi tells Rabbi Yossi Haglili was avin maisa, that he not only supported her by giving her money, but he put her up to be housed in some property that he owned. Okay, that's what you get from the Yushalmi. Okay, good. The Bereishis Rabbah has another version of this. It's for more or less the same for our purposes, so we're not going to get into that. And you can see some of the Achronim here make the Diak, the Chashukei Chamed, as the Diak in the Yushalmi, which we already made, but it's just nice to see somebody else say it for those of us who are worried about finding source materials to impress their friends. So the Chashukei Chamed says, Harei Shegam Grushaso Nikres Bisarcha. Right, you see from here, such a nice Diak, that there's some Chaloshem Basaro to the divorced couple. Okay. Now what I want to do just for a second is to prove or at least support the idea that Mibsarcha Losis Alem is in fact a pasuk that's used to highlight a relationship of kirva, that of relation, blood relation, some halachic relation. So the you see this clearly in the Gemara in Shavuos, Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, which says Kol Aver Shebatorah Niframi Menu V'Chein Mimishpachto Shenemar. Sorry, Kol Aver Shebatorah Niframi Menu. But for a Shvuah Shav or a false Shvuah, your Shvuah Sheker, you are punished by the penalty going to your family members. And the source is Al Titein Espicha L'Hachdias Bisarecha Ein Bisar Ela Krovo Shenemar Bisar Chalos Salam. So the Gemara uses that pasuk to refer to krovim. So you can see that it means some real sense of kirva, not just an acquaintance. So I think that suggests that in the context of gerushin, it makes sense to read the Mibsar Chalos HaSalim as some din of karuv kirva mamish. Okay.
One point.
Go ahead, Zecharia.
Yeah, I think this is in case we don't forget, this is an important point to prove because we saw some mafarshim, granted a minority, who talked about ubusarcha altis alim as talking about like the commonality of all humanity and not talking about specific relatives. It's talking about just like, yeah, listen, human, all humans are basar echad to some extent. So I think this was an important source in our discussion of actually narrowing that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And to further that point, when the Tana de Beilio, which we have over here, works on this pasuk of Halo Paros la Reev Lachmecha Va'aniyim Rudim Tavibayis Kisira Aram Vechsisa Mibsar Chalos. So that establishes the hierarchy that you have a chiyuv tzedakah to your krovim over other Jews. Right, so it's actually like trying to say, and I think that's what you see the Gra quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, in Yerida Reish Nanalf, which we discussed last year. Mibsar Chalos Asalem Haketzad. A person has money to give around, right? Mevakish lasos mem tzedakah kedeshi yifarnes acher mishalo ketzad yasa b'tchila yifarneses aviv imo. You start off with your next of kin, like your closest relatives. V'im hosir yifarneses achiv v'achiyosav. V'im hosir yifarnes b'nei mishpachto. And then only after you've exhausted relief for your family members, only then can you go and support neighbors, B'nai Eretz Yisrael, etc. So Mibsar Chalos HaSalim in the Tana de Beilio, which the Gra quotes, and you have the original over here, is explicitly establishing a din kedimos of tzedakah for your blood relatives based off how close they are to you in blood relation. Now, to even go further with this point, the Shulchan Aruch, and it's really the Shulchan Aruch is Chiddush, as we'll emphasize, the Shulchan Aruch says that. Again, in my reading, we could quibble about the right reading of this Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch says that your first obligation of tzedakah is to your ex-wife. Maybe I'm reading that too strongly. So let's, in Gittin, Simon Kutfiv Tes, Mutil Adam Lazim Grushasa. We'll see why he has to put that in, because everything we saw in the last Chazar Ashir about distancing. But he says, U'mitzvah hi yoser mibishar ani. It's not just, hey, it's a nice thing to support your ex-wife, but there's a greater priority to supporting Grushaso over Shar Aniyim. Now, the really interesting question comes whether that is that a chiyuv more than your brother and sister and parents? So there, we don't know. If you go for a strong reading of this Rama, the Rama is saying that there's a greater chiyuv yoser mibishar ani. Is to include other aniyim, meaning even our relatives. Like the first priority is to grushaso. Do you guys agree that that's a defensible reading at least? I understand it could go both ways. Mitzvah hi yoser mi b'shar ani. Zacharia, what do you think?
I think it's hard to determine from the text. I think misvara makes a lot of sense. Like we generally view tzedakah, like part of the idea of kedimos of tzedakah is like these people don't have people to rely on other than the closest relatives. So a grusha, a kol shekein, would probably only really have or X to rely on. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's I agree that's definitely a question. Do you agree that it could be read? This is
I hear the
one.
ambiguity.
Yeah. Okay. I think the Alei Tamar, by the way, you should know the Alei Tamar. It's got a lot of interesting things to say about the Yushalmi of Hevesi. The Psachim discussion about that fifth lesson of Gula. But just a side note,
Sure.
I spoke about this on Shabbos. And the Ali, I didn't mention the Ali Tamar, but you should know that he features prominently there. So it's an exciting connection. The Ali Tamar, when he talks about this, he quotes the Rama, which we just saw. He cites the Levush, who has a different formulation, Mutil Adam Lazan Grushaso, Mitzvah Yosmi Bisharani, and he adds in Ho'el V'Hoisa Kvar Tuliyabo in Mishirachim Aleha. So the Levush emphasizes the fact that this woman is dependent on him. It seems to be just a practical social consideration that no one else is taking care of her. He's not emphasizing the connection between the ex-husband and ex-wife, right? He seems like he's just emphasizing the fact that who else is gonna look after her. Now, the Ali Tamar, I think, is right to say that that's a mistake. He says, V'nimuko eino muvan. The Levush has got to be wrong. Shere hatam hu shechova kimo shemutelas achova olav lafarnes krovav. This has nothing to do with the wife not having anybody else to support her. This is actually the exact same chiyuv conceptually as the chiyuv to support your parents and your relatives. Aval lo mipnei she'en mi she'irachim aleha. Now again, from the Elie Tamar, it's not clear if he thinks it's on par with Shar Krovim or Yosem Ribasharani is relative to Shara, but he's saying it's the same din as actual blood relatives. And he's trying to distance him. He's objecting to the Levush's attempt to instrumentalize it as, oh, there's just no one else out here to support her. Does everybody see that tension between the, you know, the pragmatic explanation of the Levush and the Bisarcha Kurva explanation of the Elie Tamar? Yes, great. Now he goes further. He says, Tarech La'ayin, Lefia Mavur B'Shulchan Aruch She'yesh La'adam La'haktim Akarav Karav Kodem. This is where I think he brings this idea right to its head. So you have to support your closest relatives. Ma'adinim Yesh La'azam Grushaso U'bnei Achav. Ve'en Yechol Es Biyada Rak La'echad Mi Kodem. Ve'lechora Mashma She'bnei Achav Kodmin She'ken Grushaso E'nena Kvar Kurovaso V'cholak Rovim Hibcham Tzor Chalosis Alem. So his first thought is to say, how could a past but not present relative have a greater claim than a present relative? That's his first move. But he rejects that and he says, him adayin krovav. The nieces and nephews are still relatives. This wife is just a past relative. So wouldn't you think that a present relative has priority? But he rejects it. He says, "Achin adai nishle stopik b'zeh shachri shagam begrushaso shayach mibzarcha alsa salim arei he nechsheves yoser kruvaso." She's saying, "No, like actually, you see here that the Yushalmi is postulating that she's still a relative, and if she's still a relative, then she's a closer relative." Anybody see that? Okay, now it's actually not clear to me what the Elie Tamar thinks about, you know, siblings versus the ex-wife. He only sets up the question as nieces and nephews versus the ex-wife. But at least we've established in his, he at least wants to say that it's not a din in past kurva. It's a din in present kurva. And that makes her, makes the ex-wife pretty high up on the hierarchy for a right to be supported by the ex-husband. Okay, any questions on that? Everyone's good with Elie Tamar, Josh Shapiro?
Yeah, you could also contrast this, I think, with the Sefer Achinuch we saw that made it seem like there's, or he mentioned how there's just like a general din of helping out Grushot in general. Now, this isn't just a general din of you helping out like a random Grusha, but it's specifically your Grusha, the Mibsarcha.
Correct, 100%. It's not a universal din of, you know, helping out somebody who's in despair. This is the din of tzedakah for krovim. Yeah, 100%. It's exactly what the theme that's being hammered home here. Now, I'll just point out very quickly, there is the Elie Tamar in the rest of his piece here has a few other distinctions that he raises that are very fertile for testing the limits and precise classification of this halacha. So for example, here we have on page 4, everyone got this makoroshi, right? I dropped it on the WhatsApp. I just made a separate makoro sheet for this category of Mibsarchalos Salam Zugrushaso. So he has a very interesting suffix whether this din applies to Grushasom in Erisin or whether it's limited to Grushasom in Hanesuin. So his first intuition, and I think I agree with his first intuition, is Lechora Mashma. Sorry. Is if you just read the language of the Yushalmi, it doesn't distinguish between min erusin and min nesuin. Bram, lefia tam mibsarcha lo sasalim begrushasa min erusin lo shayach zeh. So I think that's a really important point that gets back to our distinction between arusa and nesua. That maybe for an arusa, there's purely a legal relationship that could be fully dissolved by the get. So an arusa with a get, like you've totally, whatever legal thing existed, you've totally retracted, dissolved that through a get. However, when you have nesuin, arguably that triggers the din of v'hayu l'basar echad. And then the there, a grusha mina nisuin, you would say that status could linger la'achar gerushin. So I think that's the Eli Tamar is getting at over here, that there's no din of mibsarcha unless there was nisuin. Romy, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, do you think the same, on the assumption that, I know maybe we'll get to later, but the mibsarcha would stop applying after the woman got remarried to somebody else? Do you think it would still apply after Erison or somebody else?
That's an interesting question. Meaning, once you buy that, that her status changes through remarriage, would you distinguish between remarriage to Erison and Nisuin? I think that's a really great question. I don't have a mucker to take a stand on.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm more just raising the
100%. I hear this. I think it's a really great suggestion. Now, another distinction that the Ali Tamar here raises is, what about if it was, forget about Arison, what would you say about just a Mishudachto? And he tells the story of the Bitzkochanan that maybe he supported his Mishudachto even though the Shidduch never worked out. So I think it's pretty clear if you go in that direction and think yes. So he himself says just Midas Chasidus, but then you're not dealing with any genuine shame basar. Not really midin mibsarcha, if you think that a mere engagement could generate this type of support obligation. At a minimum, you would require Erison, and I think the Eli Tamar is actually right that you would require Nisuin to generate that. Good? Excellent. The final thing that the Eli Tamar raises in this part of the discussion here, he says very interestingly again, you see, really fertile thinker here. Yesh lehistapik im girsha mipnei shematza ba ervas davar shemitzvah ligarsha im hi gamkein bichlalze. So anybody get a sense of what his suffix here is? What's the suffix here?
He's unsure between different circumstance of divorce, as in if it was a divorce for, you know, just regular reasons or whatever, that's one thing, but does this obligation to support her also exist when it was because of Eros Dever?
Yeah, exactly. Meaning, does the justification for divorce affect whether there's this din of Yibsarcha lo sisalim la'achar gerushin? Now, I think that's really
obvious.
Go ahead, Romy.
Not obvious why that would be, meaning why, you know, erva would result in the not being basar echad in more than anything else.
Unless you say that the halacha actually distinguishes in terms of that, like, existential din of ger, like the thing that's left over after gerushin, like if there are super strong grounds for divorce, or if there's ervas davar, and so like the couple should be separated, maybe like a super strong basis for gerushin would actually affect the type of shame bisarcha that lingers afterwards. But you're right, Romy. He ends up rejecting it. He quotes a girsa in some sefer that he found here. He says, in the lashon of the Tanna d'Be'elyo, mashma shigam hi bechlalza, meaning even if you divorce mishim ervas davar, you still have this basis. Nasa adam isha matzabat davar vegirshel v'sof nenis yifar nesena masha yuchal lekach nemer b'sarcha lo sesalim. So maybe Romy's right that this is a nice way of saying, look, if this is about midas chasidus, if she betrayed the husband, why does the husband have a chiv to support her after they're separated? But if this is about some objective existential shame basar, like maybe you have a chiyuv to support your parents even if they've totally abandoned you and cut you off, and right, that's just the din. I mean, b'sarcha lo sesalim, maybe b'sarcha lo sesalim is not sensitive to those bein adam lechavero type of injuries. Okay. So Rumi, maybe that's a nice way of saying that this is a din in genuine Mibsarcha, not a din in just, oh, there's no one else, you owe it to her, etc. Okay. I think there's one other point that I wanted to tease out here. Yeah, here he says. Yeah, the other interesting little havamina that he has here in the discussion is whether you would distinguish on this Mibsarcha Lo Sisalim question between a case where the couple has children together and where they don't have children together. This is in the Beis Haglili story. So I thought that's really fascinating. And here he says it also. He says, so this ties into that earlier theme that we discussed in the first semester, which is maybe a couple that has children together, there's a stronger kesher ishus between them. So you would say, in the Havamina here, he ends up rejecting this, but the Havamina here is that you might say, the din of Mibsarcha Lo Sisalim is dafka zugrushasa, that's dafka when you share children. Because then that shame kurva persists la'achar gerushin. But if there are no children, you might say that, you know, kibolo kach polto. Like you're married now, you're totally set. There's nothing left. But he rejects it, right? He's saying no. Like the din of Mibsarcha Lo Sisalim applies even when there's ein lo banim. But the Havamina and Maskana here, the Havamina at least touches on that question about the kesher ishus itself being affected by the existence of banim, just like we saw when we analyzed Ha'ila Basar Echad and when we analyzed the justification for divorce, right? We saw all the achronim saying. Some achronim saying that yeshli banim imena would create a higher standard for justifying gerushin. It's nice when you see the themes being reinforced throughout other discussions. No, Ezra Klausner. No, doesn't that make you feel good?
I mean, I don't think you need sources. You know, as long as there's a clear source for it.
Very good. Excellent. Good. I like that answer. Okay, now. The next piece, to reinforce this theme even further, I thought it'd be helpful to look to other indications in halacha where we see that there's some shame basar even after separation. So we have a one-off in our sugya, Mibsarcha Lo Sisalim Zugrushaso, but it's just interesting to reinforce this one-off example in our discussion with other areas of halacha where you see that there's this shame basar even after separation. However, this example, these other examples are from a case of misas habal. So you have to accept that there's some symmetry between misas habal and gerushin. Okay. Now, just the reason for thinking that it's okay that there's symmetry between Misa Sabal and Gerushin is again the Mishnah and Kiddushin. Isha Niknes B'Shlosha Drachim, B'Kones Asma B'Shtei Drachim, Kones Asma B'Get of Misa Sabal. The idea being that Get and Misa Sabal are just two ways for the woman to be Kones Asma. So it's not crazy to say that whatever shame basar exists after Kones Asma B'Misa could be equally true in the case of Kones Asma B'Get. So what's the example? So I gave in Shir the example of Yibum, that that there's some kesher that exists la'achar misa sabal, and more importantly, the Chinuch explains that the reason for Yibum here is that we're trying to produce a child who is the closest thing possible to actual offspring from the deceased husband, from the deceased. But how do you have offspring from the deceased if you don't have his genetic material frozen? How do you do that? So the answer is, according to the Chinuch, Lefisha Isha Achar Shanises Leish Harehi Ke'achad Me'evarav. Right, so after marriage, they're considered to be one person. V'hayla basar achad. He cites, of course, the Psukim in Bereishis, which we spoke about in the first semester. Sorry, right? The story of Adam and Chava. Achas mitzalosa v'mena bana lo ha'el isha. V'ha'ish hazeh shemes b'lo banim, the deceased, sheyiyu chelek mimenu lizikaron lo. U'lamalos mekom ba'olam lavodas boro. So what's the chelek mimenu that's going to be brought back? Right, he's gone. So what's the chelek mimenu? Where are you building that from?
The child.
What?
The child for the Yibum.
Yeah, but where are you getting the... How is the child chelek mimenu?
Through his wife.
Right, through the wife. Meaning he's gone. He passed into the other world. So how do you get something that comes from chelek mimenu? Oh, from ishto. That's why you need the metaphysics of other kibasar echad to get this off the ground. Okay, and you could see here v'od ein zecher lo ba'olam hagufani zulase zosa isha shei atzam yatzam v'basar mibsaro. So that's why the wife is the last thing remaining of him. She's echad atzam even, but the chiddush here is that it's even after death. It's one thing to say this is true while they're still married and living together and, you know, they're happy and their marriage is shalem. But la'achar misa, it's a much further chiddush. So I see this as parallel to the discussion of Mibsar Chosam Zugushasa, where you're saying explicitly la'achar misa, the wife is considered basar mibsaro echad me'evarav even after this separation of kones atzma. Now, you see this another diak in his language. Haya mechaste ha'el alav lohakim lozera mimena mimena al yede achiv shehu gamken kechatzi bizarro. So you have to have clever arithmetic here. But the thought is, you take two chatzi bizarros and you get a... I don't know what you get. Do you get a full basar bizarro after that? Or do you get...
I think that makes a quarter.
A quarter, right? Yeah, that's what I was
maybe
wondering.
The wife is full Pissarro and he's only half. So normally you have two, now you have one and a half.
Good, very good. Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky about how the arithmetic adds up, but I think Gamkin Khatzi Bissarro, the theory is the wife is at a minimum Khatzi Bissarro here. Right? Okay. Let me just get the Abarbanel and then I'll take Rumi's hand. So the Ramban, he elusively suggests that Yibum is this big secret. It's a sod gadol misodos haTorah b'toldos haAdam, is the Ramban in Bereishis in the story of Tamar and Yehuda. But he doesn't tell us what the sod gadol is. And of course, the Abarbanel flushes it out that it's hanefesh hamisgalgelas lo tachol be'ezah chomer sheyizdamin. The soul that is wandering around, that's misgalgel, won't come to be housed unless it's housed in a body that's similar to its original host. Right? And therefore he says Hashem wanted this nefesh to that departed to have a new residence, a new place to reside. Bilios haguf hayoser dome luguf hames v'chomro hu hanar hayulad me'ishto. So how could he create a body that's going to be as similar as possible to the body of the departed that once hosted the nefesh? So that, he says, is that's going to be a body that's born from the wife of the deceased. And what's the metaphysical basis for that? Shehi etzem me'atzam avu basar mibsaro. Correct? That it's got to be the wife who's basar mibsaro etzem me'atzam of the deceased. And that's why we have the mitzvah of Yibum. So, v'lo yia oz hayelad hayulad bilvad guf ha'isha, ki im gam kein bala v'atzmo. V'hu gam ke yia ben aviv hachai begufo, v'achi aviv benafsho. So again, you get a similar story from that you get in the Sefer Achinach, right? That what's crucial for Yibum doing what it's supposed to do is that you have the wife who's etzem atzamav even after the misa of the deceased. Okay? Everybody see the connection? Ezra Mosca, you see the connection? Kobe?
What?
Kobe?
Yeah.
Okay, I was not sure a comforting yes, but okay. Romy?
I was just going to say that especially the comparison or the whatever of the brother, the way that Sefer HaKinah talks about the brother versus the wife, but all of this, but especially that, I think it emphasizes how seriously Halacha takes that concept of Asur and Zarcha. It's like equating it to genetic similarity. No?
Yeah, absolutely. Meaning, so I take it your point is to say that this is not just a chiddush in the relationship that exists la'achar misa. The Yibam discussion also gives us greater appreciation for how seriously the halacha takes the concept of basar mibsaro and etzem yatzamav in general.
Right. Yeah.
Great. Good point. Okay. So the last area where we see this connection la'achar misa is in the prohibition, in the discussion related to the prohibition of kol almana v'yosam losa anun, that you shouldn't oppress a yosam and an almana. By the way, do you guys find this Chazar Shirim helpful? Just to give a bird's eye overview of things. And when we're going over, this all sound like really familiar to you, or this is just like, oh, I don't remember actually having seen this. I'm getting checks. It's the latter or the first? It sounds somewhat familiar. Okay, good. I love Chazar, by the way. No, I feel like it helps crystallize the stuff that we've done and brings it home. So it's great. It's a great experience. So kol amana v'yasam lo tza'anun, that you shouldn't oppress amana and a yasam. So we know the Rambam tells us in Hechos Deos that this is Nafshan Shvela Lamod Rucham Nemucha. These are oppressed people. They don't have people to look out for them. The Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Samechei says they're Teshushe Koach She'ein Lahem Misha Yiton Ta'anosam B'chol Nefesh. They don't have somebody to advocate for them, to look out for them. Kemo Shehayosa Isha Almana Avien Shal Yisomim Im Hayakayim. You know, if there was a husband, if there was a father, the father would look out for these people. Now, the Minchas Chinuch has a suffix whether the Isser de Oraisa of Almana v'yasam lo sa'anun extends to Grusha. Is there a prohibition to oppress, give a hard time to a divorced woman? Right? That's the suffix of the Minchas Chinuch. And he think it actually depends on a machlokas about whether the Isser of lo sachbol Beged Almana, whether that applies to a Grusha. So for our purposes, it's sufficient that Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Samechei is Mesupak about whether Lo Sanun applies to a divorced woman. Now the Cheshukei Chemed is a very nice explanation here. And he says, what's this suffix about? Like, what would be the basis for extending it to a Grusha? So that's obvious. A Grusha also doesn't have somebody to advocate for her. Ezra, why are you leaving? Is he gone already?
Yeah, we lost him.
That's crazy. Somebody WhatsApp him and say that we want to know why he's leaving. Yeah, put it on the share thing. I want to see the answer.
I thought all you have to say is great share. You have to say more than that.
Well, now we're following up why he's leaving.
Was he wearing a suit?
He was not wearing a suit, I assure you. Okay, so the Cheshukei Chemed says, what's the tzad that the Grusha is included in Kol Almana, Almana V'yasam Lo Sanun? So the fact that she doesn't have somebody to advocate for her either. She's on her own, right? In Mish'enes V'koras Ruach Mibal, Hiyoshev Eslavadik Agamuda. But what's the tzad to say that she is included in the Isser? Sorry, what's the tzad to say she's not included in the Isser? So, suggestion number one is that when it comes to Gerushin, maybe we only view it as an interim separation. And there's always the capacity and hope that they'll get back together again. Meaning we don't even view Gerushin as being absolutely final. Correct? Which I think is related to this idea that there's, you know, maybe some halachic relationship between them. Oh, and the alternative, shall kolpanim yidagla lefarnasa kedechsim ibsar chalos asalim zugrushaso. Like maybe the fact that, you know, even in divorce, the husband is supposed to be available to support the ex-wife. And so those would be two reasons to suggest that the din of losa anun wouldn't apply to grusha. So either it's the capacity for a remarriage, the expectation even of remarriage, or the chiyuv of supporting the wife itself. Okay. Romy, you had a hand there? No, that was from the previous discussion. Okay, great. Now this brings us to this point of the Cheshukei Chemed. And again, conceptually, even just the halacha itself, that there's a din of Mipsarchos Salim Zugrushaso, brings us to the question of whether, like, does the halacha want to facilitate reunification? Or does the halacha smile upon the capacity of reunification? So the one makar that we saw so far, I mean, obviously some of it's going to be come up in the discussion of Machzer Grushaso, so I'm going to hold off on it until then, those tshuvas that we've shown him. But the Shittim of Kibetis and Ksuvis on the din of the couple of Shiluach, of not living, Lo Sador Imo Bishchuna. So the Shita Kubetas quoted the Likutei Agonim, really marvelous Shita, that said, it's dafka when the wife is remarried that we don't want them to live in the same neighborhood. Remember, this was the discussion in the last Chazar Shurim, the debate between the Rambam and Rashi, but the Gonim feel very strongly that it's only once she's remarried that it's prohibited for them to live in the same area. Mishim da achilo nises rasha vadai lador bishchunaso kidei shetehe krova elav ula yachzer v'yikadeshosa v'yispaisu. So the really extraordinary view that we saw in the Shittas Agonim, that we're even going to limit or restrain the halachos of shiluach and maybe even encourage the couple to stay in the same neighborhood before the wife remarries, so that the possibility of them getting together is always open. Philosophically, it's very stimulating, very fascinating area of halacha here. And I feel like in these Dine Torah, when all these husbands say, want to stay married, and the wives who want to separate, but he's like, oh, we could always work things out. So I feel like I'm going to start saying, like, well, you could get divorced. And then you could figure out from there whether you think it's right to get remarried. I think that's what you see. That's what Likutei Agonim are saying. Like, maybe it's right for the couple to get divorced at some point, but that shouldn't be it doesn't close the door. It doesn't foreclose the, not just the possibility, but even the halachas, maybe encouragement of the capacity for shalom bayis la'achar gerushin. Maybe. No, I feel like people have the intuition that gerushin is forever. And this shita of the Likutei Agonim side in the Shita Kibetah seems to push in the opposite direction. And of course, we'll see more about this when we get into Machzer Grushaso, and maybe there's a special chalos of Machzer Grushaso, so that'll be our next sugya. Okay. The last thing that we're going to discuss, last major piece of this halacha, is just to capture the tension between the last sugya and this sugya, to capture the tension between Lo Sador Imo Bishchuna and Mibsarcha Lo Sesalim. Now, of course, you could see the Likutei Agonim, which we just read, as giving an answer to that resolution by saying, yeah, distinction between a case where she remarried and didn't remarry. Like, there's no din of separation if she didn't remarry, but there is when she has remarried. But that is, that's of course limited to the view of Rashi. It doesn't work well with the view of the Rambam that there's a din of separation even lachar, even before she remarries, even with a pnuya. Okay, so the just the source to get this discussion, the place where this tension comes into play explicitly is the Hagos Haimonios is comment on the Rambam Isur Bia Chaf Aleph Chaf Zayin, where the Rambam paskins this din of separation, that the couple shouldn't live in the same neighborhood. The Hagos Haimonios says that's true. Aval lazuna b'chatzar acheres near the shari. Like, but maybe it's permissible if they're living in separate places. It's permissible. Notice only permissible for the husband to support her. And notice, by the way, when the Shulchan Aruch paskin this, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama moved from saying shari to saying that there's a mitzvah. That was a chiddush of the Rama. But it's merely permissible if you're doing it in a chatzar acheres. If you look at the Vayikra Rabbah also seems to capture this tension. Ned dropped this on the WhatsApp. I don't know if he didn't realize that we already had this on the Makorah sheet. Maybe I'll tell him. Romy, no?
He hasn't made Ned realize?
He probably didn't realize that this is already on the Makorah sheet.
I assume not.
Hey, look, if you were in Chazar Shir, then at least he'd learn that he's just regurgitating material, but it's okay. We'll send Ned the recording of the Chazar Shir also. So if you look here at the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra, so we have the story of Rabbi Tanchuma, when there was a famine in Israel and there were gozer tanis to get rain. And there was this guy who got divorced and someone saw him supporting his wife. Right? He saw his wife, Aruma, Vitzari Gedola, Nismali Alei Arachamim, Vinasan La, Alshim Ibsarcha Lo Sisalim. He gave her money to support her, even though she was his divorced wife. But then somebody saw him and said to Rabbi Tanchuma, Rabbi, I saw an Avera happen. And he said, what did you see? He said, I saw so-and-so who was not just that he was hanging out with his divorced wife. He was also giving her money. Yoivla Pritin. V'ilav d'chashir ala lo yoivla. Said, oh, like something's rotten in Denmark. Why would this guy be hanging out with his ex-wife and giving her money if they're not chashed on doing averos together? It must be that there's something foul going on between them, right? That they're reuniting. That's like Lanaim of Apundiki. So Rabbi Tanchuma sent for this guy. He said, what are you doing? Like, why are you meeting up with your ex-wife? Why are you paying her money? Right? Ilule de chashed ata lo yavis lampritin. Like, this clearly calls your conduct into suspicion. So the guy explained. He said, "No, I'm really just supporting her." Mitam b'psar chalos esalim. But what you capture in this medrash is the tension between the support of mibsarcha and the isser of them doing stuff together, engaging with each other in the marketplace. Even right, that's why there's the suspicion, the cloud of avera hanging. So in the end, Rabbi Tanchuma says, what you did was such a mitzvah. And, you know, he calls out to Hashem and he says, if this guy had Rachmanos on his grusha, you could have Rachmanos on Klal Yisrael. Right. And then the rain came down. So it's clear from the story in the Medrash that Mibsarcha Lo Sisalem is endorsed, even though the Havamin and the Yushalmi is that it seems to be a violation of, but for satisfying Mibsar Chalosam, it would be a violation of Shiluach, of the couple not distancing themselves from each other appropriately. Anybody see that? So what you get then from the later Mefarshim is attempts like the Hagos Maimonios to say Lozona B'chatz Acheres is Shari. Of course, there's a prohibition of them being together, but if there's support at a distance, that's okay. So if you look at the Or Zeruah, you'll see he has two ways of reconciling the tension here. So he says, number one, he cites this this story in the Medrash. So he has one answer to say, Ahi grushas Yisrael shaloni say savoy. So this is chiddush number one. That maybe that's only in a case where the wife had not yet remarried. So once she remarries, and this is exactly like similar to the Likuti Agonim in the Shituk Abetzes. Once she remarries, then they shouldn't have any contact. But if she's not remarried, then there's a mitzvah for the husband to support her. Now, one way of reading this Or Zeruah is to say what we were suggesting, and Rumi was suggesting earlier, is that maybe the din of Mibsarcha is cut once she remarries to somebody else. So maybe there's no din of Mibsarcha lo sesalim once she remarries. Who grew, meaning the Or Zeruah is trying to say, how do I reconcile the din of Shiluah? How do I reconcile the din of lo tifra al yedei atzma? Right? How do I reconcile all these dinim of separation with the dinim of Mibsarcha lo sesalim? And his answer is, he grew shasisa shalot nisei savoy. It must be that the Medrash's case is a case where she didn't yet remarry, whereas the Gemara's prohibitions are cases where she did remarry. Now, I'm saying that we could look at that answer and appreciate that maybe that goes further conceptually and tells us that the dinim Mibsarcha lo sesalim is only that Kesher Ishus is only there lachar gerushin prior to her remarrying. Let me see that. It's related to why maybe there's no Machzor Grushasa once she marries somebody else. Okay, the second thing that he says, and this is what he quotes from the Tshuvos of Marchani Loigon, a different way of reconciling the tension is to say that he should support her al yidei shlish. That the husband shouldn't support her directly. He is a chiyuv mipsarcha lo sesalim, but there should be an intermediary who's doing all the communication. The husband shouldn't be communicating directly with her. And it sounds like that's even in a case where she did not yet remarry. Right? So we want the support, that's great, but not the sense of the likutei agonim, the shidduch kibbutz, that we also want them to be near each other to be reunited. Here, according to this reading, there is, we want them to be separated, we want her to be supported, so the answer is have an intermediary oversee the support. Okay. Now, just a quick hara here. Notice that the first answer of the Or Zeruah, Hahi Grusha Yisrael Shalom Nisei Savoy, that's clearly against our version of the Yushalmi. Maybe it works in the Rabbi Tanchuma story, where we don't know that Rabbi Tanchuma's wife remarried when she's Naruma Bitsara Gedola. But of course, in the Yushalmi's case, Rabbi Yosei Aglili, we know that his wife did remarry in that case. And Afa Pichein, he said, Mivsar Chalo Sesalim. So that answer of the Or Zeruah works maybe. It's basically saying that the Medrash and the Yushalmi are at odds with each other. This is Machlokas, so this is a Din Mibsar Chalos Salim from a Grusha. Okay, Zachar, you have a hand?
Yeah, I think the last answer of the Gonim is very a nice resolution of the tension, right? You can say that like you want the Din of Mishalcha as a Din of the Gerishin, right? That you want there to be a clear separation. And maybe you could say like a subset of that is you don't want any Chashash. Znus, Bizarre is still saying, well, there still is a connection here. And I think that distinction is very well borne out by this idea of Olive Ishlish.
Yeah, excellent. 100%. Mitzad din Shiluach, they should be separated. Mitzad the din Bizarcha, she should be supported. So the answer is the Shlish. Yeah.
I think the Likutei Gonim is shocking. Like you're saying, like, oh, yeah, divorce is just like, go to single, they should have like divorcee mixers, but they only like do speed dating with each other. Like the whole idea is to have like a, you know, defined line.
Right. It's a big chiddush, definitely a big chiddush. And I think, you know, you have to walk back, you know, if you're on board with that Likutei Agonim, we have to walk back many of the things that we discussed in Shiluach and Pirud. Right. But again, you could go into Rashi land and say, that's all the Grushas Kohen, and that's all the Grushas Yisrael Shanisis Lacher. So there's a way to reconcile it all. But
then that removes, as in the whole idea of Vishilcha is that it's a pasuk in the process of Gershon. It's a feature of the Gershon. It's not a process of like, oh, we don't want Yisurim to happen.
Right.
You know, I think like Rashi is just more of like a, yeah, like Shash Yisurim, the worse the Isser, the worse the problem, the more protections we need. Right. Vishilcha is much more of like a din ekroni and gerushin.
Right. I hear. Rumi?
I was actually going to say the opposite a little bit. Like, I think that this still leaves a lot of the tension unaddressed, meaning...
Which one? The shlish?
Yeah, I mean, no, all any of them. But yeah, even the, I think the shlish is the best, but I think even that leaves some of it unanswered. I think because
life's a dialectic. You have to live the tension.
But the more that
there isn't always a kasav ashlishi amachria b'neim.
There never is.
Yeah, what I mean is that you're, it basically forces you to under-read or underweigh the Mipsarachol Tisalim here as just a din in supporting, like, you know, financially or whatever, giving her food, which...
Why? It's like you don't have, it's like you have a sibling who lives far away. There's a din of Mipsarachol Tisalim. You live far away. You're never in contact with each other. So you have these chiyuvim. But it has to be. It's at a distance.
I understand, but if you,
I don't think it undercuts the existential.
No, because it what it does is it undermines. I mean, if you want to say anything that we said in the beginning of the year about Basar Echad and whatever, and about that being the meaning of those words, and employing those words here is confusing. Because you're invoking, you know, Basar Echad is Alim, like a, you know, Basar Echad kind of thing. When you don't really mean it, you really just mean a financial.
Well, it's financial in virtue of this thing that is there. This metaphysical.
Yeah, now you're trying to have both ways, because if it's really still there, then what's it, why is it such a big deal? You know, why not say like the Likudegon?
We have to protect you from yourself.
But maybe it's not so. I mean, yeah.
It's like a guy, someone who's on suicide watch, right? You have to lock them up because you have to protect them from themselves. So you're saying, there's no din mibsarcha? Like, of course you're you, but no, like we have to keep you away from yourself. So I could see that there's same thing here. There's a din of mibsarcha lo sisalim, but we just can't allow too close proximity.
But why not? Meaning the thought I'm trying to say is shouldn't mibsarcha mean you like have a connection? It's fine. Like you're not bad for you to be connected. You are connected.
No, so I'm saying it's Sveidinim. I think you get a Mibsarchalos Salim. That means that there's some, you know, Etzemat, some Bastim Sarah, just like we saw Lachar Misa.
Just a lower level, basically. You know what I'm saying?
It's not even lower level. It's just that it has to be Berichuk Makom because of a Chshash, because of a Din Shiluach.
No, you have to read the Mibsarchalos Salim as less significant, because otherwise there shouldn't be a reason for distancing. There shouldn't be a Chshash.
Give an analogy. I mean, there's Isser Yichud with many Krovim. Doesn't make them lesser Karov.
I mean, well, that is good. It's an interesting analogy, but I also might say, and yeah, it does maybe make them lesser Karov a little bit. But
does it? You can talk about it.
I think there's just two different forces, right? One is like, yeah, what is your relationship? What is your bond? And another thing is like, okay, we want a society that doesn't have Chashashi Surim going around.
Inappropriate relationships, yeah. All right, that's interesting.
All right, good. Good back and forth. Josh?
I just wanted to clarify if you think that the Isser of Machzer Grushoso that's mentioned in the Torah after the marriage, is that connected? Were you trying to connect that to the point of the Or Zeruah?
Yeah. I mean, it could be that the something we discussed right in the beginning semester, first semester, which is once the wife marries somebody else, maybe that cuts off the din Bisaro altogether. That could be consistent with the Or Zeruah's observation that the Dinim Yibsarcha Lo Sisalim no longer applies. There are two ways of reading the Or Zeruah. One is that the Dinim Yibsarcha Lo Sisalim always applies. It's just overridden by the opposing force, the opposing concern of Kirva between them, right? Once she's married to somebody else, it's an Isser Eishes Ish. So the Isser Eishes Ish issue eclipses, overpowers, overshadows, whatever, the concern of the chiyuv of Mipsarcha Lo Sisalim. The other way of reading the Or Zeruah is to say, no, fundamentally, once she marries somebody else, she can't be Mipsarcha to two people at the same time. Maybe. So once she marries this other person, now she's at some of this new fellow. So the metaphysics have to realign. So it's almost just like in Machzer Grushoso, where we saw that there's no din of Machzer Grushoso once she marries somebody else. And we said, maybe that's because the Kesher is fully dissolved at that point. And so if you think of the process of Gerushin, there's Get, there's Shiluach, and then like the Psukim themselves. Give her the Get, you send her away, and then that's the terminus of the process.
And how would you understand the Psukim when they mention like Asher Hutama, Asher Hutama, like where it makes it seem like the issue in Machzir Grushaso is like about some defilement or
Acharasher Tihutama. You could read that as I think some of the Mepharshim are explaining that maybe it's just psychological. That psychologically the husband sees that she's already miyuchad to somebody else and no longer kosher to him. But not that it's or you might say that now she's disqualified from, oh my gosh.
Sorry, you have a dog?
No, it's Adi who just walked over here. Okay. Hi. Hi. She wants to say hi, but she's not. We'll say, you have to go get dressed, but yeah, you could pop your face up and say hi to everyone. Hi. Say hi to everyone, Didi. Okay. Great. Go back to mommy, okay? And then I'm going to... wasn't expecting an intruder here. Sorry, Josh, does that answer? I mean, so you could say Acharei Hutama also just means that, yeah, as a fact, once she's miyuchedes to somebody else, she's like hame to him. Do you have the lashon of the psukim open in front of you? I could pull it open here.
Yeah, it says, lo yuchad mala harishon asher shilcha lashuv lekachta liolo liisha acharei asher hutama ki toiva hi lifnei Hashem. Lo tachti et haaretz asher Hashem lokecha noten lecha nachala.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty bad.
You see, in this translation, they have it as she's disqualified for him. Meaning she becomes disqualified for him by marrying somebody else.
That's way too neutral.
You think so?
Yeah, then it starts talking about how it's like evil to the land.
Well, so therefore... if she were to come back to him, that would be a toeva. So you have to figure out what's in the subjunctive here, meaning, or now that she. So it's like lo yuchabayla rishon asher shechalda shuv kachta lios lo liisha. So like lios lo liisha. Like were she to become a wife to him, after having, it's like maybe like it would be tamei for him to retake her.
It's also just odd how the, like, I think the Shulchan Aruch says that the hutama doesn't apply to just regular znus. It's only once she gets married, which is very odd if it's about defilement. That, you know, any sort of ishus with somebody or znus with anybody else should disqualify her. Like,
right. Well, if you think of it, Orzaru
would love this and say no. It's only once the, or our understanding of the Orzaru would say no. It's only once she gets married because then that breaks off the kesher.
Right. Right. So I think let's think more about how to read the psukim. Acharei Asher Hutama. We could. It's actually a nice thing we could think about because we're gonna. Our next Chazar Shir will be on Machzir Grushaso. So it'd be nice if we could nail down the best reading of that pasuk before Machzir Grushaso. Should we do a Chazar Shir over Yontif? Like a Chol Moed? Is that crazy? It's crazy.
So what happened to?
Is that crazy? All right, well, we'll be in touch. We'll figure it out. We have a couple more Chazar Shirim anyway. We have Machzir Grushaso. We definitely have Bitul HaGet and Siva Balagaresh and Get Musa. Right? Get Adei Ratzon. And we have Lishma. And Gufo Shel Get. Lashon HaGet. Oh, man, we have a lot on our plate, guys.
And Tzedaka.
Tzedaka, did you say?
Yeah, I'm just gonna be like,
no. Joke, okay, we have a couple more sugyas to get through in our Chazar Shir, but I think it's good, it's worthwhile, it's good to get everything sorted out. It's great. All right, Chag Kashuv Sameach, everybody. This has been really good. Pumped that we're gonna wrap up our Chazara sometime soon, and then we'll figure out Bechina schedules. Great.
Shir tomorrow over Zoom.
Are we doing Shir tomorrow over Zoom? Let's see. Let's play it by ear. We'll play it by ear. All right. Shkoyach, guys. Chag Sameach, everybody, if we don't see you tomorrow. But Shkoyach all.